listened to it, and then I heard some people over talking, and sermon, both of the people I heard talking were kind of a good kick in the pants for me to really study God's word further and step up my game as a Christian. And so this evening I want to talk about more studying and how much time we spend in God's word. And I want to start off by talking about that we need to be diligent in studying God's word. And you know, diligent, that doesn't mean doing something a few times. If we're diligent in God's word or in our Christian lives, that doesn't mean we just go to church 3 times a week. There's a lot more to it than that. So if you would open your Bibles with me and turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, that's where we'll start this evening. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." So here, this is obviously written in the Old Testament. It's not referring to the new law because it hasn't taken place yet. But God expected them under the old law to have his word on their minds and hearts day and night. It doesn't say, you know, just do it the first day of the week, or just do it at, you know, when there's festivals or something like that. Have my word on your heart day and night. So, you know, do we only open the Bible at church or when we go to Bible studies? Is that the only time we see our Bible ever opened? Or is, you know, a lot of us, I think, have Bibles next to our bed or next to our chair or something like that. But, you know, again, is that just for looks? Are the pages still crisp? Or do we open it and actually use it daily? Turn with me now to Psalms chapter 1, and we'll read the first 3 verses. Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So here this man that is, it says is a blessed man, it says that he delights in the law of the Lord. He doesn't delight in the things of the world or the things that the world chases after, the world's ideas, but he delights in what God has told him. And again, it uses the phrase that he meditates on it day and night. You know, it's a constant thing. It's not just when he gets a bit of free time or just happens to think about it. So where do we get our delight? Is it found in God's word? Is that where we receive it? Or do we find it in, you know, getting praise at work or doing some sort of hobby or doing something fun that makes us excited? You know, the Pharisees in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking to them and stuff like that, they're constantly quoting scripture. And in the New Testament, constantly the Jews and everyone are quoting scripture. They know the word. And I don't have all my numbers straight on this, and I don't know a lot about this, but what I do know is that at this time, the Jewish children, they went to school, and these schools were taught by priests and the priest servants, and they started school in about the ages 4 to 6, and then they went till about the age of 8 to 12, and at that time, the girls, they started going, I guess, back into the home, you might say, and learned how to take care of the household and do things like that. And the boys, they were allowed another about 4 or so years of school. And at that point, they were allowed to decide if they wanted to go into trades, you know, maybe being a carpenter, a fisherman or something like that, or if they wanted to follow some rabbi. They kind of could choose their path from there. But all the time that these kids were in school, the textbook they had was the Bible, or was the Old Testament. Because obviously at this time they didn't have printing presses, so it was hard to duplicate writings and things like that. But almost everybody had access to the Old Testament. So when they taught, whether it's math or history or science, whatever the subject may be, they taught out of the Bible. They were able to draw lessons or teach math about different things that happened in the Bible. So, you know, they may have not been learning, you know, how to be saved or how to follow the old law, but they were constantly in the old law because that was their textbook. That's what they had. They were constantly, you know, seeing the same name, seeing how many people went this place or where these people went. And so that's why so many of these Jewish people at this time were well-educated in Scripture. They may have not known much else about how the world works, but they knew Scripture. They were able to quote verses. You know, we don't even spend that much time in Scripture. Here are these people, like the Pharisees, they didn't know exactly what it meant. They didn't know who they were waiting on, but they still knew Scripture. They still stayed in the Word. We need to be as diligent as they were. Turn with me now to Acts 17 and verse 11. Here, Paul and Silas, they're traveling, and they're going to meet brethren in Berea. And in Acts 17, verse 11, talking about these people they're going to meet, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." So here he uses the word noble, and that means fair-minded. You know, these people, they received the word. It says, obviously, they received it. They had open ears, but they also tested it to see whether the things they were hearing were true or not. You know, they were excited to study the word, but tested the new things they heard to make sure what they would, if they made changes, they'd be correct ones. But, you know, do we really test what we hear, or do we only, you know, scrutinize it when it's from a preacher or someone or a source that we don't know? Turn with me to 1 John 4 and verse 1. First John 4 and verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So try, it means to examine or verify. So part of the time that we spend in Scripture should be spent testing what we've heard from others, whether it's what we heard at church or what we saw maybe on social media or heard somebody on the radio say. You know, we should be testing what we hear. A lot of times, I don't know if I've ever said it, but I know a lot of other men have got up here and said, you know, don't take my word for it, go and study it further. And we say in our prayers, you know, we pray that we study what we've talked about further. You know, we may go home and read a verse again and think, oh, I never noticed that verse. And then we kind of put it out of our minds. But we need to pay attention to what we're hearing and test it against the word. You know, if Sean Zeebach or Pat Manning got up here and said something that we had never heard, I bet there's a good chance that we would all be like, oh man, I never knew that. And then go home and think, that's pretty cool. And then not open the Bible. But you know, if a random stranger got up here and said something that we never heard, we'd think, I don't know about that. You know, then we start digging on our Bible. Just because, you know, obviously Sean and Pat, they're good people and they study the word. But just because somebody has a good reputation and says it doesn't mean we need to take their word for it. We need to go to the Scripture and see what God says. You know, in order for us to, like it says, try the spirits, try what we hear, we have to look into Scripture. We can't just say, well, that sounds good, or that sounds right, or no, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to believe that one. We have to go to the Word and see what it says. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 now. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." So here you're saying, you know, watch out for people trying to lead you away from God. But he says, seeing you knew these things before. And he's referring back to, I believe, when Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 7, and he's talking about wolves in sheep's clothing, warning them about false teachers and things like that. He says that they knew this before. The only way they would have known that before is if they had been in the Word. They had already been studying God's Word and in Scripture and paying attention to what God had told them. But you know, we as Christians, should also be different from the world. We have to make ourselves different. Romans 12, verse 22, we all know the verse. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." We're obviously supposed to act different in some sort of way, and that comes from staying in the Scripture and living by what God has told us. You know, if we aren't studying the Bible, how are we going to know how to act and to live our lives? In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." We read this verse a lot too, and we say, well, you know, we have to always have an answer ready for them. That's why, you know, talking about certain subjects is important. Well, that requires us to go home and study the scripture on our own. We can't just rely on the sermons we hear from the pulpit or podcast or whatever it may be. We have to do the work ourselves. You know, how can we give an answer to someone if we haven't studied that subject? You know, I can't go to Tech and go take a physics final because I haven't studied the subject. I don't know anything about physics. I wouldn't get one question right because I haven't spent time in that subject. It's the same with the Bible. You know, if we go out in the world, how do we expect to bring others to Christ if we don't have the answers? And when doing this, preaching to strangers, but I know we do it a lot in Bible studies, and we say, well, you know, that verse somewhere, it says something kind of like this, or it says somewhere something along these lines. You know, that verse may exist, but we can't keep doing that, because that's how, you know, if my dad says, well, there's a verse somewhere that says you should always eat fish on Sunday, and I never go and see that verse, and I just take his word for it, well, then I tell my kids, well, there's a verse somewhere that you should always go eat fish on Sunday. Well, you know, that's how the word gets changed. That's how people have misconceptions of the Bible. We have to go to the scripture. We can't just think that there's a verse. We have to go and find that verse. You know, if we went to a doctor and they said we had some sort of cancer and they said, but we're going to try this new treatment because I think somewhere I saw an article that this sort of treatment worked or something along those lines. So we'll go and try this. We obviously wouldn't put our faith in that doctor. Why should somebody put our faith in us, their faith in us, if we use the same phrase, if we have the same amount of knowledge as that doctor does? So besides others seeing that we are different from the world when we're staying in the Word and studying the Scripture, what are some other things that will happen? What are some effects that will come from continually studying? You know, when we stay in the Scripture, it obviously has a positive effect on our actions and gives us a better mindset and leads to better thoughts. You know, last year, me and Rachel and Colin started having little Bible studies. We'd come up with some sort of topic and study it out and stuff like that. And when we were doing that, it was easy for me to come up with lesson topics. When we had the group Bible studies at church, it was easy for me to ask questions and things like that because I was constantly thinking about biblical things. And then recently, I've been having trouble coming up with lesson topics and subjects to talk about the Bible studies. And I realized we hadn't done the Bible studies in a while. I hadn't been staying in the Scripture, and so obviously that stuff wasn't on my mind, so it was harder for me. So staying in the Scripture will lead to better thoughts and a better attitude. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee new, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So here he's saying, you know, we don't live by food alone, but also by God's word. Well, if we're not in God's word, if we're not studying Scripture, how are we to live? How are we to obtain that eternal life? How are we to know how to act and be carry ourselves in the world? If God's word gives us sustenance and we're not in God's word, then we're not getting that sustenance that we need for life. In Psalms 119, we won't read it, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It talks about the effects or benefits of having God's word in our life. In verse 2 of Psalms 119, it talks about how it leads to joy. In verse 9, it talks about how the word keeps us from sinning. Verse 24, it talks about that the Bible is a guide to our lives. 43 and 45, it talks about the hope and freedom that we receive. And 50, the comfort that we get from that freedom. Verse 81 and 92, it talks about the hope that we can have during hard times. Verse 99, it talks about the wisdom and understanding that we can obtain. Verse 105 talks about it being, again, a guide to life. Verse 114 talks about it acts as a shield. It gives us a way to get through hard times. And then verse 165 talks about the peace, again, that we can obtain from studying and staying in God's word. And there's obviously, those aren't the only benefits that we receive from God's word. There's lots more listed in Psalms and throughout the Scripture. But by staying in God's word, we are able to get all these things. By understanding what God has told us, we have all these benefits. Turn with me also to James chapter 1 and verse 22. here we see, if we read and study God's word with an open mind, the effect that it has on us. James chapter 1, starting verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth that manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So here it compares the Bible, or the word of the Lord, to a mirror. And it talks about how when we study it, when we stay in the scripture, we can see the problems or the things we need to change in our own lives. We're able to compare our lives to God's word and see what we're doing wrong or what we're doing right. And again, it's a guide to life, understanding how we should live our lives. But you know, a lot of times we have reasons, or we think we have reasons for not studying the Bible. And sometimes is that we're kind of scared to, I think. You know, it's holding up that mirror. We can see our flaws. Go with me back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Here it talks about the power the word of God has. It says, Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart." So here it talks about how powerful the word of God is. You know, we usually know what changes we need to make. We just have to be told that we have to make those changes. And the word has that power to convict us and force us to make those changes. You know, in James, it compared the word to a mirror. You know, when you wake up in the morning, one of the last things you want to do is look in the mirror, because usually you just don't look too hot. You know, your hair's all a mess. You're just not feeling it. And so it's that same feeling. You know, we don't want to look in the word of God because we don't want to see all our problems and flaws and see what we need to change and fix. It's hard to accept that. You know, it's hard to be told you're wrong or your actions are wrong. But that's also a part of growth as a Christian and just a person. Anytime you accept accurate or valid criticism, no matter whether it's from the Bible or just a friend, that's when you have the chance to become a better person, is if allow that criticism or change, or allow that criticism to make a change in your life. You know, in college, you usually had at least four exams throughout the semester, usually quizzes and stuff, but usually had at least four exams. And sometimes me and my friends would get frustrated because you get three quarters of the way through the semester and you still haven't had your last three exam scores. And you're studying for the final and you don't know what you've done good, you don't know what you've done bad, you don't know what you need to work on, what you were good at. And so it was hard to understand where we needed to work and put all our effort into, because we didn't know how we were doing. We can't improve our lives if we don't know how we're doing, if we're not looking into that mirror, if we're not seeing all our flaws. Another reason I think we don't spend a lot of time in the Word and studying the Bible on our own is, well, I've been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 60 years. I already know what the Bible says. We're already Christians. We got it under control. I'll still go to church, but, you know, I've kind of figured it out. But how many times has someone gotten up here and told the title of their lesson, you're like, I know that. I don't need this lesson. I'm going to think about work. I'm going to go study this verse maybe, so it's still doing a church thing while the sermon's happening. But I already know this topic. I'm not going to pay attention to this sermon. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Here it uses the word deceitful. That means crooked or not honest, you know, something you can't trust. You know, we can easily trick ourselves and become complacent with the vast amount of knowledge that we already know. You know, we're smart humans. We're the smartest animal on earth. We've got it figured out, and we're Christians also, so we're saved, so we really got it figured out. You know, we trick ourselves into thinking we're smarter than we are. How many times have you heard people talking about, you know, well, they followed their heart, or they knew something in their heart and something like that. Here it says that the heart is deceitful, that it'll trick you, that it's crooked, it's not honest. How many people base their life or their religion off their heart and not God's word? Turn with me also to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Here there's, obviously in Proverbs, there's lots of verses talking about wisdom, but Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." So here he says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. It doesn't say a stupid man will hear and increase learning. This person's already smart. They already have knowledge. They're already wise, but they still increase their learning. You know, even if we've been a Christian for 50 years and we have half the Bible memorized, we still can increase our learning. There's still room for improvement. Just because we may actually be wise, that doesn't mean that we can't stop learning, that we can't get something from the Bible. Turn with me also to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11, says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing." So here, he had previously been comparing Jesus to Melchizedek, but he couldn't continue because they weren't smart enough to understand. Continuing in verse 12, it says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which should be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here he was going to continue teaching them, but they just weren't smart enough to understand it. He said, you should have been to the point where you're teaching others, but you're still having to have people teach you. You haven't spent enough time in the word. You haven't put enough work in, and you're not at the place that you should be. You know, there's a time for milk, but that time for y'all, we should be past that, but you're still on the milk. You know, a baby in Christ can receive nourishment from meat. You know, they may not receive all the nourishment, but they can take bits of it. But a mature Christian can't from milk. In verse 13, it says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." We have to continue increasing our knowledge and studying deeper topics, and we can't just be satisfied with the milk, with the basic stuff. It's up to us to increase our time in studying the word and move on to the meat. You know, a while back, I've talked to a few people about this, but talking about the difference between reading and studying the Bible. You know, the definition of reading is the action of reading written material. And I don't know where from, but I heard recently that once you get older, when you're reading, you're actually just recognizing words. You're not actually reading anymore. You're not sounding out the letters and stuff like that, but you're just recognizing. You're like, oh, I know that word. That word's cat. That word's dog. You know, we just have it going in our brains automatically. The definition of study is to devote time and attention to acquiring knowledge. So when we open the scripture by ourselves, are we reading or are we studying? Are we looking at stuff that we recognize? You know, we already know the story. I'm going to go ahead and I recognize the words, just read it out loud and get through it. Or are we studying? Are we devoting that time to gaining that knowledge, finding deeper meanings or learning stuff that we didn't know before? You know, are we happy with the milk or are we seeking the meat like we should? In verse 13, it says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful." If we're still on the milk, it says that we're unskillful. Obviously, again, there's a time for the milk. But if you're a mature Christian, you should be past that by then. We shouldn't be like the people here in Hebrews. The last excuse I want to talk about for why we don't study the Bible is we tell ourselves that we don't have time. And the issue is not a lack of time. We all have the same amount of time, obviously, but a lack of priorities. You know, I don't have time to clean my house. But I certainly have time to go out back and go shoot for a while. I can make time for that, but clean my house, you know, it's not that important. I don't have time for that. I looked up on the internet. I'd heard statistics over the years, and I looked up the current one. The average person in America spends 7 hours and 4 minutes on electronics a day. And I think this includes work, But obviously, if that's an average, there are people who are spending an hour a day, and there's people who are spending, you know, 12 hours a day on electronics. We're devoting our time to lots of things that may not be necessary. And so some of you know, I asked some people in the church, in this church and a few other churches, asked 17 people in their free time, in the time they don't spend eating, sleeping, or going to work, how they spend the time, what they're devoting their time to, and where they're placing that. And I'm in this poll also, so I included myself in this. I found that on average, for the 17 people I asked, we spend 29% of our time on electronics. This could be, you know, playing video games, watching a movie, something like that, but it's not work-related and it's not studying the scripture, but we spend 29% of our time on electronics, 29% on with family and friends, whether it's hanging out, spending time with your family, whatever the case may be. We spend 14% on hobbies. This could be, you know, cooking or gardening or doing some sort of crafts or something that you enjoy doing. And then 12% on other, which is just maybe working around the house, doing things you need to do, stuff like that. And then we spend 18% of time studying the Bible. And that's either going to Bible studies, reading the Bible on your own, listening to a sermon, something along those lines. And like I said, I only polled 17 people, you know, so it's not super accurate, but it gives us a good idea of how we as Christians are spending our time. You know, a lot of times I've heard people give lessons talking about how America spends their time, and we think, well, that's Americans, you know, that's the average person, we're Christians, we're better than that. Well, us as Christians, we're only spending 18% of our spare time in the Word, actually studying the Bible. And, you know, I asked for the top four things that we all do, and you might be thinking, well, I do study and go to church. It just didn't cross my mind. I thought about the stuff I do more. Well, if the top four things were, you know, electronics, family, whatever it was, and those were the things we thought of, obviously the Bible isn't an important enough part of our lives that we didn't think of it as the top four in how we spend our time. We need to step up our game and spend more time in the Word. You know, we're spending more time on electronics and having fun, which, again, we all understand there's time to have fun, there's a time to relax, there's a time to do everything, but we're spending more time on electronics and having fun and things like that than we are on our eternity. You know, again, going back to the doctor scenario, say we have this cancer and we hire this doctor to find a cure and help us out and stuff. If we found out that they weren't spending all their time trying to help us, that they were spending, you know, 50% time on their computer and another time goofing around, and then only 18% of their time trying to save us, well, we wouldn't be happy with that. We'd find a new doctor. We'd find somebody that would spend a little more time trying to save our lives. But why do we only spend 18% of our time trying to save our souls? You know, we say we don't have time to study, but, you know, we all know the verse, Romans 14, verse 10. At the end it says, "For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We're going to have time for judgment day. We may not think we have time to study the Word of God, but we're all going to have time for judgment day. And so if we're all going to be there, we need to make sure we're spending time and we're prepared to be there. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, starting in verse 18. Says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them with your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all those nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves." So again, this is written to the Israelites. It's in the Old Testament, obviously. And it's talking about the old law. But don't you think this is still how we should treat the new law? This is still the level of importance that we should be placing on it. You know, at the beginning it talks about teaching your kids constantly, you know, everywhere And then talks about everywhere you go, you should be seeing scripture. You should be constantly studying the word. You know, if you keep the scripture in front of you, he says, I will destroy your enemies. Obviously, in today's terms, he's not going to destroy our enemies, but he's promised us that home in heaven. He's promised us forgiveness of our sins. He's saying, I will take care of you if you study and follow my word. You know, a lot of times, if this applies to you, I didn't think of anyone in particular here at this church, but this may apply to some of you. A lot of times, I'll go into a house and somebody will have some sort of scripture above the fireplace or in the hallway, and it says, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or something along those lines, something kind of joyous and cheerful. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But is it for decoration, or is it a reminder to our family? Because if it's for decoration, that's one thing. But if it's a reminder, don't you think we should have something more important? You know, Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." What if that was the verse that we constantly saw in front of our eyes, reminding us to, you know, watch our tongues, maybe be a little more careful about what we say? Don't you think that'd be a little more useful than a nice scripture above the mantle? Be a little more important to see? Again, if you have a scripture in your home, there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to realize the level of importance that we are placing on the scripture and the level of importance that we should be placing on the scripture. Because obviously that we aren't staying in the word as much as we should. So that's my study for this evening. I hope it was beneficial. I hope it encourages you all to study the scripture further. I know I've become complacent with going to church and going to Bible studies and working on lessons, and that being the only time I open the Bible. And then I need to get better on that. And I thought that polling people in the church would hit a little closer to home, and realizing how much time we actually spend in the word compared to just having fun. So again, I hope it was beneficial. I hope it encouraged you all to spend more time in the scripture. As always, we offer an invitation. If there is someone who would like to be baptized this evening, or someone who needs the prayers of the church, if you come forward while we stand or while we sing.